We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Then I'll just, there's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Something terrible is going to happen.
Donald Trump has been back on the campaign trail. He was in South Carolina yesterday talking to a rally, about 400 people in Somerville, his first event in that state since July. During a speech that lasted about 40 minutes, Trump talked about the 2016 presidential race and appeared to confuse his then opponent Jeb Bush with former President George W. Bush.
You know, the beauty was when I came here, everyone thought Bush was going to win. And then they took a poll and they found out Trump was up by about 50 points. Everyone said, what's going on right here? They thought Bush, because Bush supposedly was a military person. Great. You know what? He was a military. He got us into the Middle East. How did that work out, right?
So he was talking, of course, about George W. Bush, but conflated him with Jeb Bush, who was the governor of Florida in March of 2003 when the United States went into Iraq. But for all the talk about Joe Biden's problems and his age and everything else, if you sit and watch not just those clips, but the 40 minutes in South Carolina, some red flags there.
It's a couple things here. First, there's a lot of discussion about President Biden's age and whether or not he seems to be, you know, slipping at all, whether he's still up for the job. And there was a moment last week where eyebrows were raised. We're at a fundraiser the president had in New York City. He told the same story twice, seemingly not remembering that he had told it the first time. That said, President Biden has been able to do the job and his record speaks for itself. His aides are very quick to point that out. I think we have been giving Donald Trump a pass too much because he's always sort of, frankly, spoken like a crazy person. And many times, if you read the transcripts of his speeches, they're very hard to follow. And he's so all over the place, it's tough to pin down what he actually means. But these red flags, these verbal missteps have only picked up in the last few weeks. And you're right. I mean, the windmills and whales things are nuts. The World War II not from reference last week. We had this one confusing the Bushes. The list goes on and on and on. And one does wonder, as much as polls suggest that voters don't care as much about Trump's age than Biden's, he is only 3 years younger than President Biden. And if Biden is going to be questioned about his fitness for the job, then voters should take the same look at Trump, who has been all over the place in recent weeks and seems to be, and his social media posts reflect this too, under increasing pressure and strain from all the criminal cases.
Oh,
The judge in Fulton County ordered today that no identifying information of jurors and prospective jurors shall be disclosed. That seems fairly obvious given the threats here. But how uncommon or common is that?
In a high-profile case, it is fairly common because it doesn't really need to be triggered by the defendant himself or herself. In other words, in any high-profile case, you're going to be concerned about interference, about press interference, about anybody contacting jurors. Here, though, there's an additional reason for exactly for what you said, which is you're concerned about, remarkably, the former leader of the free world. This is a step that was taken by Judge Kaplan in the E. Jean Carroll the assault, sexual assault and rape case. Mm-hmm. And so it's fairly common. One thing that I'm still concerned about is that although the judge ordered that this be sort of anonymized and we wouldn't find out the identities, it doesn't mean that the defendant, Donald Trump, and his counsel won't know. And so you're still assuming that Donald Trump will obey the law. And that, as we know from four indictments, is a questionable assumption.
What happens if he releases their names? I mean, that's a crazy question to ask, but are there even consequences built into the system?
For anyone else, yes. But, you know, I think there's probably just a natural reluctance here to jail somebody pending trial. But, you know, for Paul Manafort, for instance, when he coached two witnesses to lie, he was put in jail by a D.C. judge. It is the norm. Sam Bankman-Fried in the Southern District of New York for financial crimes, so much less serious crimes in terms of the import on democracy, is in jail pending his trial.
So we're also waiting for the Trump team's response to the special counsel's gag order request. It's supposed to come tonight. We'll see.
Right.
Talk about the stakes of this back and forth, given Trump's behavior, because as a non-lawyer, I'm sitting here watching him make these threats about Chairman Milley and thinking, how is this not a big factor? Is it a big factor?
Yeah. So let's just remember the context we're in. There is a motion before one of four judges who have the criminal cases of Donald Trump. There is a motion pending by the government saying, do something, Judge. You've got to restrict in some ways what he is saying about witnesses and jurors and judges and their families. You have to do something. While that motion is pending, as you said, we're waiting for the defense brief tonight. He has done a number of things. He has made these statements about the former chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I mean, it's unfathomable that you're sitting here having that conversation. He has been on air today about possessing a firearm. Well, you know, you and I were on air together when in the D.C. case, the magistrate judge said, you know what the most important thing is, Mr. Trump, when you are out on bail? Do not commit another crime. Well, it is a crime for somebody who is charged with a felony, just charged with a felony, to receive a gun. And there are pictures on Twitter of him holding the gun.
Does he need a receipt? We don't even know. His campaign came out and said he didn't purchase it, but...
But that's not, the law is not that you can't buy a gun. The law is 922, to be a nerd, that's why I'm here.
It's a safe place, Andrew, safe
exactly.
Place for nerds.
922N is that you cannot receive a gun that has traveled in interstate commerce. That just means that it's traveled across state lines. A Glock has traveled across state lines because they're either made overseas or they're made in Georgia, but they're not made in South Carolina.
So even not purchasing it, he could have violated.
Exactly.
There is Big Bucks Gun and Pawn. There is Holy City Firearms, or probably the best name of the bunch. There is Ammo Dump. There are a lot of options when it comes to gun shops in and around Somerville, South Carolina. So why did former President Trump choose this one? Yesterday, before speaking at a campaign rally in South Carolina, Trump made a pit stop for a tour and a photo op at a gun shop called the Palmetto State Armory. Now, this is a photo of one of the guns a white gunman used a month ago today in Jacksonville, Florida, to kill three black people in a Dollar General in a predominantly black neighborhood. The gunman, who fatally shot himself after that attack, he left behind a racist manifesto. As the Jacksonville sheriff said, this shooting was racially motivated and he hated black people. This is a closer picture of the gun that shooter used a month ago today. And above the hand-painted swastika, you can see the logo, Palmetto State Armory. It was headline news that at least one of the shooter's guns came from the Palmetto State Armory. Now, to be clear, Palmetto State Armory is a South Carolina chain, and there are lots of locations. But also, there are lots of gun stores to choose from in that town, minutes away from one another. And so it feels like a choice that exactly a month later, Donald Trump chose this particular shop for his photo op. That is not the only thing this particular gun shop is known for. In 2009, South Carolina Republican Joe Wilson shouted, "You lie!" at President Obama during a congressional address. And that was celebrated on the right. And Palmetto State Armory had its first big national news moment by commemorating Wilson's outburst on a custom-engraved AR-15 accessory. More recently, Palmetto State Armory has made news for marketing its product toward the anti-government group, the Boogaloo Boys. Boogaloo is a predominantly white right-wing accelerationist movement whose members say they want a violent second civil war against the federal government. You might know the Boogaloo Boys from their signature combination of Hawaiian shirts and military gear. It is not on sale anymore, but in 2020, the Palmetto State Armory sold this gun in a Hawaiian shirt print called the Big Igloo Aloha. Big Igloo Aloha. Which sounds a lot like Boogaloo, Big Igloo Aloha. Palmetto State Armory didn't respond to requests for comments by The Trace, an outlet that covers gun violence, when The Trace began reporting on this sort of merchandise in 2020. But given all of that, it feels very pointed that President Trump, former President Trump, picked this particular gun shop just yesterday. It maybe even feels like Trump was sending a message, and it is not the first time. Last night, Trump's lawyers filed their opposition to special counsel Jack Smith's request for a gag order in a federal election interference case. Smith had asked the judge to restrict Trump's speech outside of court to prevent Trump from intimidating witnesses or influencing potential jurors. In response, Trump's lawyers argued President Trump has not intimidated anyone. They essentially said that because Jack Smith's team didn't directly tie Trump to any specific act of intimidation, he can't be penalized for it. But that is exactly how Trump operates. As his former lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen, put it years ago, Trump speaks in code. Trump didn't have to tell the Proud Boys to come to the Capitol armed on January 6th. He just told them to stand back and stand by and that January 6th would be wild. Trump didn't have to tell his followers to break into the Capitol on January 6th and try to attack his vice president, Mike Pence. He just told them to march. And he called the vice president a coward and then sat silently while his supporters chanted that they wanted to hang Mike Pence. Trump tacitly encouraged violence against his own vice president. And Mike Pence is far from an outlier here. Since the 2020 election, more than a dozen people have been charged with threatening election workers because of Trump's big lie. Individual election workers that Trump singled out, like Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss, face threats of violence for just doing their jobs. Michigan Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson had armed protesters show up at her home because of Trump's lies about the election. After Trump demonized the FBI for searching Mar-a-Lago, a supporter of Trump's tried to attack the FBI Cincinnati field office with a nail gun. Even the National Archives has been flooded with threats because Trump demonized the institution last year. And the list goes on.
I built a phenomenal company. And if we could run our country the way I've run my company, we would have a country that you would be so proud of.
Okay, I just need to correct that one second. If we could run our country the way he ran his companies, we'd all be in jail.
Okay, Donald Trump, with that statement back during the 2016 election, if that is the case, then a fraud ruling yesterday from a judge in New York about how he ran his company says a lot about his presidency.
This judge.
We're going to read from the room.
This judge came with like...
No need for a trial.
Frazier's left hook, man. He connected. Feet off the ground, flying through the air. The left hook, boom. Really hit him hard.
Before we even got to a trial, he said, we know fraud when we see it. We've looked at all the evidence. This is fraud. Now, there'll be a version of the trial maybe starting next week. But the judge could not have been more clear in his ruling yesterday that what Donald Trump and the organization perpetrated over many, many years, in his eyes, is fraud.
Okay, we've got major breaking news, a major loss in court for Donald Trump in the civil suit brought by the New York Attorney General Tish James. A New York state judge has just ruled that Donald Trump committed fraud by exaggerating the value of his assets in financial statements. This was a major plank of Tish James's case against Donald Trump. That case is set to go to trial on Monday. Donald Trump's attorneys had also asked to throw out the case, and the judge denied that request. The Attorney General James's lawsuit seeks $250 million in fines and to bar the Trump family from doing business.
The allegation is pretty stark that Donald Trump would, there would be something that would, I think reasonable minds could agree, would be worth $10 million, and he may say it's worth $100 million. And this happened over and over and over. And these statements were submitted to banks, to insurance companies in order to secure loans, sometimes favorable terms, and also to insure, to secure insurance policies, things like that. So that's kind of in essence. And the Attorney General had brought a civil suit, a quite large one. If it goes against him, it could cost him to the tune of $250 million. And this is all just right before it's supposed to go to trial on Monday. And there were just some last minute motions for summary judgment, and or, you know, and that just means that each side had asked for a ruling from the bench prior to it going to trial. And I have to tell you, I looked at this and I did a double take. It is a huge loss for Donald Trump and a huge win for the Attorney General. And what the attorney, what the judge has found is that Donald Trump, on this main count that I'm talking about the inflation of assets, that in fact he's been found liable for that. They've determined that he did in fact overvalue his assets again and again and again. And they've not only done that, the judge has canceled, has called for the cancellation of all of the defendant's business certificates in New York. And then on a third one, they're fining a number of the lawyers $7,500 each. This will still potentially move to trial on Monday. There's also another legal battle in this going on, which is that Donald Trump has sued both the judge and the attorney general. I think he was anticipating this and moved ahead of a hearing last week and actually sued the judge, and the appellate court will come down potentially, we think, on Thursday and weigh in with something that could move the trial and could affect this again. But in the short term today, this is a huge, huge blow for the Trump organization.
I know there's a lot in there and it's all really big. So, yeah, you know, there little bits of it, little sentences in here would on their own be headline news, including the judge has ordered the cancellation of all of Donald Trump's business certificates?
Right. That was one of the things that was ordered today. And the attorney general in their lawsuit that was brought, this has now been 4 years in the making. It's been going through the civil courts. The essence of what they're trying to do, just in plain terms, is literally trying to get to run Donald Trump's businesses out of the state of New York.
Wow.
Donald Trump, since this has started, has moved a lot of his banking and his operations out of New York. And we still don't know in terms of, there's still five other counts on this suit that will go forward to trial if it's not moved. You know, we're going to learn about that again later this week.
Okay, so
be moved, but those will still move. And also the fine hasn't been determined yet. I mean, that's sort of the number that they're looking for. But these are some of the things that will be, you know, I think heard at trial, and it will be a bench trial in front of a civil judge.
Howdy, folks. Mean Chief Fetlox here. You know, they've been saying that Donald Trump has just been a bundle of nerves lately, just all out of sorts because of all this worry about going to prison. And, you know, I, for one, I'd like prison to be a real positive experience for him. Some say it can be transformative, and especially if you're going to live out your last days there. So, but it's hard to be transformed if you're just, like I said, a nervous wreck. So I thought I'd write this little lullaby for Donald. He can memorize it. It's got more words than that man, woman, camera, TV, person thing. But if he learned it and he could just kind of sing it to himself, maybe get somebody there that plays a little guitar, could really help him mellow out. Don't be scared, little Donald. Don't be scared. It will help if for prison you're prepared. Though you're guilty and dumb, Secret Service will come. What you do in your cell will get shared. They won't be able to resist selling the video. Don't be shy, little Donald. Don't be shy. Though in prison, you're likely to die. Try to make some new friends, picking those who pretend you are not such a horrible guy. While you're in there, try not to be a snitch or some psycho inmate's little bitch. Bribe the guards if you want extra stuff. If you don't, life is gonna be rough. Don't stand out, little Donald, don't stand out. All alone in your cell, don't you pout. 30 years ain't so long. Heck, in 10 you'll be gone. Living longer than that, I would doubt. I hope this brings you a little comfort.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.